We're doing the Chazon Ish. We're up to the first chapter, the ninth section. Ka'asher zacha sechel ha'adam lirot amitat metziuto yitbarach. When a person's mind has merited to see the truth of God's existence, miyad nichnas bo simcha gil en kitz. So then, a happiness, a rejoicing that suffuses the person is without bounds. V'nishmato nima alav. And suddenly, life is pleasant. V'adimyon mashlim imasechet lachzot b'noam Hashem. And then, you have the dual function of the mind with the imagination to see the pleasantness of Hashem echoltanu gei besarim chamku avaru v'nafsho adina mitatef b'kdusha v'chailu pirsha miguf ha'achur umshotetet b'shmei shamayim. A person feels like the mundane, the physical pleasures are irrelevant, and his soul, in its genteel, is now enwrapped in holiness, and it's as though it has severed itself from the mundane, the physical, the soul is soaring. Now we understand why the Chazon Ish said that one has to be careful between the imagination and the mind. That the imagination is a tool to supplement the mind and not for the mind to run after the imagination. That's a very hard balance. Uve'alot adam be'erkei kodesh eilu, as a person grows in these levels of holiness, nigla lefanav olam chadash. Suddenly he discovers a new world, ki efshar la'adam ba'olam hazeh liyot kemalach lirga'im v'le'enot miziv ha'kodesh. A person can attain spiritual heights. He could have moments where he is angelic and he actually enjoys the radiance of holiness. And the pleasures of this world are naught compared to the pleasure of connecting to his creator. There are many thoughts that Chazon Ish just said. Let's try to tap into just a few. Someone once asked Rav Aryeh Levin, are you one of the 36 pious people that keep the world running? It says every generation has a minimum of 36 pious people. So Rav Aryeh Levin was a Talmud Chacham and a Tzaddik who lived in our century. He was the rabbi who risked his life to be the chaplain, so to speak, of the Jews who were captured by the British and were executed, the Jews in the Haganah and Lehi. And then he continued to be a bastion of kindness in Israel, in Jerusalem especially, and was looked up to as one of the great tzaddikim of our times. And there are many fantastic stories about him. So Rav Aryeh Levin was a one-man chesed machine, and I dated a girl whose mother was an orphan who grew up in Rav Aryeh Levin's house. And she was orphaned from her parents as a young child after World War II, and she grew up by Rav Aryeh Levin. She told me stories when we were still dating. I didn't marry that girl, but as I was dating her, so I got to hear a few stories from her mother about Rav Aryeh Levin. He was just in every way, he was the epitome of kindness. So someone once asked him, are you one of the 36? So his answer was, sometimes. In other words, we assume there are those people who attain that height, and that's it. They're one of the 36. So in other words, what Rav Aryeh Levin was telling him is that part of the time you can be one of those 36. It's not like there are those 36 and throughout their days they are the ones. We all have ups. We all have downs. We have to strive to make our ups last longer, be more consistent, be higher. But okay. You walk into shul. I don't know what's about you, but I think many people can walk in and walk out and be completely unmoved. The only thing they remember is the time that passed and perhaps the lack of fresh air. That's what they got from prayer. And then you walk in and there's a chazan that starts a tune, and you close your eyes and you join in with the tune, and you have about 15 or 30 seconds where you're uplifted. You're somewhere else. So then all of davening was like this foggy day. And then you had those 30 seconds where there was a beacon of light shining at you, right? So some people can enter davening and can have an uplifting experience for most of the time. Some people for much of the time. We should always strive to have an uplifting experience at least part of the time. If you can't connect to davening throughout, so at least try to have those moments. The Chazon Ish says, when it comes to spirituality, so then even as a person grows, he can have moments where he is angelic. Meaning, you don't expect to reach this height and stay there. You have to realize that even in spirituality, you're going to have highs, you're going to have lows. You have to try and remain normal. You have to maintain a certain, call it wavelength, a certain breadth of ups and downs that's within a norm. You can't have it that one day you're smoking on Shabbos, the next day you're seeing angels, you know. You gotta maintain within a certain range. But within that range, there have to be ups and downs. You can't expect to maintain a high. So, when you're up there, says the Chazon Ish, then you can have moments where all the pleasures of the world seem vain compared to the pleasure of connecting to the Holy One, blessed be He. Hakoach HaTamir Al Hazeh Ochad Mikochot HaTmirim Shnatan HaYitzor B'Nishmat HaAdam. This is one of the most potent forces that were placed in man's soul, the capacity to attain such a height. V'chol zeh me'id al kesher ha'gever liyotzer kol ha'yitzurim asher nivra la'avod et ha'boro'o v'ledovka bo. And this connection is testimonial to the connection that one has with his Creator, and that the purpose of his Creator is really to have that connection. So notice that the chapter began with when a person merited to see the truth of God's existence, which, if I understand correctly, the Chazon Ish is saying, I've given you tools now. So I've discussed with you for 8 chapters the fantastic order that every person can see in the world, and then a person has to ponder it and think about it and develop it, and then a person might merit to see the truth in God's existence. But notice the Chazon Ish calls it zacha, to merit, meaning you don't necessarily get it just because you heard everything here. You could hear it and say, interesting, maybe. Okay, you got a point, but I'm not all the way there. And the Chazon Ish says, right, there's another step here. And that's what we discussed last Thursday night, that there will always be room to doubt. It doesn't take super genius to look at something and say, well, maybe not. Right? Everyone can say that. And there's a fine line between he who imagines things and he who understands things. And the Chazon Ish was building things so that we would understand. And nonetheless, the Chazon Ish says, there are still gaps which your understanding cannot fathom. Okay. I think there's a lot to digest over here. The idea that a person can attain such height, a person can attain such spirituality, and the idea that when you reach a certain level, you do have to fill in gaps with your imagination. But notice that this is coming after a chapter which says you got to be careful because the human mind likes a good lie. The human mind is very taken by a lie and is very interested in lying and accepting lies. So I think the Chazon Ish purposely juxtaposed these two. When he's about to tell you that there is a realm where you're going to have to use part of your imagination, not everything will be satisfied by logic. There's a part of the picture which I can't fill in, I can't prove to you. He only says that after giving us all that chapter of warning about the usage of imagination. Okay, we'll see as we continue. Yes, Yechiel.
it's because he late to receive something from Hashem, or he has mercy on us and we receive clarity or something? Or is both together, or what is the relation? Because you just said in Mary, because Mary, Mary.
I'm not sure that the word zacha in Hebrew has to mean like the word merit in English. Meaning, I'm not sure that the word zacha has to mean by my own merits as opposed to my good fortune. I think even in English the word merit could mean to have good fortune. I don't think the word zacha has to mean that you earned it. That's what you meant. Yeah. Is it necessarily that I earned it? I don't think so. But I don't have a concrete proof right now. I translated it as merit. I'm not sure if that's an accurate translation.
Because we're also saying the merit of Abraham, but maybe it's not any connection between my acts and my attitude and Abraham. We are relative by blood or something, but not by what we're doing. He also lies sometimes. Maybe I'm a bigger liar. I choose only that part, not the good part. I choose the bad part. So I just want to...
I hear. I don't know.
But I have an answer for myself. So I think that because Hashem wants to help me, to give me light and teshuvah, something like that, he put me in a difficult situation. So I start to pray. I ask. So because I ask him and I work very hard, in that merit, maybe I try with the helium. It works. I don't believe it. I just try. It works. I read about that. That they say the feeling for me is just crazy. It's not prayer. Okay, I do. It works. So I do again because it works, but I don't understand.
No, you're there. Sorry. What? Yeah, Yaakov.
What does he mean by using your imagination to ascend to these lower levels, to conceive of whatever's going on in Tefillah? Did he ask to actually imagine the throne of glory or an angel or something? I don't understand.
I'm scared of saying, because he doesn't say it. I rather, but I'm...
Maybe it'll just turn into a question, like when you're doing Frank Schmaness, right? Probably have more kavanah if you imagine yourself in a hall of light or something.
I don't think that's what he means at all. I think when he says v'adimayon mashlimi masechel lachzot benoam Hashem, the imagination acts in completion with the mind to see the pleasantness of Hashem. We have to ask ourselves, what does that mean to see the pleasantness of Hashem? Until we define those words, I'm not sure we can understand what he's talking about. I don't think he's talking about prayer. I think what he's talking about, I don't have a proof for it this second, but I think what he's talking about is the recognition that Hashem is running the world. And I think that's what he's referring to as Noam Hashem. That if I look at the world, so some things I can understand, and then there are some things which my imagination is going to fill in the gaps. I don't really have a proof. I can't say I understand that. But I can imagine this, that, or the other thing. I think that's what he means. But I'm not sure. I don't think he's talking about prayer. He says The imagination completes with the mind to be able to see the pleasantness of Hashem. Those words, Noam Hashem, is a code. What does that mean to see the pleasantness of Hashem? So once we've deciphered that code, then we can understand the rest of it.
Can you give an example? Assuming that we go with...
I've said more than I want to. I don't want to say more. I wanted to preclude other understandings. More than this, I don't like to say without a concrete proof. So I rather leave it as, okay, this is a chapter, this is a section which maybe we understood less of. We got a direction. Let's continue, and then maybe when we see the whole thing, we'll have a better understanding of this.